Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.
Thank you for choosing to listen to this message by Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ in Tallahassee, Florida. We believe that you'll be blessed by the Word of God shared during this time. Now here's Pastor Edwards.
Hello, this is Elder Vincent T. Edwards, pastor of True Holiness Church of God in Christ, and I ask that you please support this ministry by making a donation of any amount today. You can give by way of the Cash App, and our cash tag is $THCOGIC, and that's $THCOGIC. You can also go online to our website. That's trueholinesscogic.org. That's trueholinesscogic.org. Click on the give icon in the upper right-hand corner, and you can use our online form, or you can choose PayPal to make your donation. And remember, a gift of any amount will help us to continue to spread the gospel. And may God richly bless you for your generous gift today. And we at True Holiness thank you for your support of the ongoing work of this ministry. And now for today's message. I ask that you get your Bibles this morning. And I just want to teach for just a few minutes. This is an area, I'll just tell you that, I deal with in my life, and I'm just looking for God to help me. I know a lot of y'all may not deal with it, but it's an issue that the God is dealing with me on. Let us turn to first. Let's go to the book of Psalm 40. Let us go there. Psalm 40. And I will read Psalm 40, and then we will go to the book of Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. So first we will be in Psalm 40, and I'll read the first three verses. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3. Now let us go to the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, verse 1 through 5. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Galatians chapter 4. Verses 1 through 5. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I come to you right now for your guidance, for you to speak through me to teach your word on today. For God, you gave this to me this morning in a different way than normal. So I can do nothing but lean and depend upon you to deliver your word to your people. Anoint me now by way of the Holy Spirit. Let Vincent sit down and you stand up in me. Anoint these lips of clay that I may speak truth. But more so, God, as I speak, because you said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. I ask that everyone on the call today, Lord, on the Zoom line, open up their ears that they may hear what the Spirit has to say unto them, O Lord, that they hear and accept the word. Not only that, but internalize it and use it, O Lord, so that they can become better and that they can share and be a blessing to others. Now I submit humbly myself unto thee, O Lord God, and you take control. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 40 starts off with, I waited patiently for the Lord. And I told you all, I'm talking to myself today because I have a hard time. I don't know about you. I have a hard time waiting on God sometimes. I have a hard time waiting. So today I'm talking to myself. And if I could use for a subject today, based upon Galatians 4 and Psalm 40, it would be wait for the appointed time. Wait for the appointed time. Because we live now in a world that wants everything right now. We want it instantly. From instant mashed potatoes to Instagram, where we can put up a picture and share things with the world. We have technology where we can transfer money in seconds. We have technology where we can look at one another like we're doing now. We have our cell phones that have given us a sense, or I should say a false sense of urgency, because when we text somebody, we expect them to text us right back. We've moved away from email except for a few things, but we want things when we want it, and we want it now. Even with regard to shopping and things like that, we can have same day and next day delivery. We can even order online and go pick up in the store. We don't have to wait, and we have this concept of there's something bad about waiting. But I'm here to tell you today that you need to wait for the appointed time. I'm speaking to someone like myself that God has promised you something. God has promised you something, and he promised it to you a long time ago. And you may think that it's not going to come to fruition. But I'm here to tell you today, wait for the appointed time. Here, has anyone ever heard that patience is a virtue? Has anyone ever heard good things come to those who wait? Have you ever wished was there ever a time in your life when you wished you had waited just a little while longer before you reacted or acted? Reacted too soon. Have you ever heard the statement that the early bird catches the worm? I'm just talking about waiting this morning. Have you ever heard that haste makes waste? Yeah. And have you ever heard that time is of the essence? You know, we put this false sense of urgency. But one I think a lot of people can understand is they say time is money. You know, being a business major and understand, hey, but time is money. Don't waste my time. But sometimes we need to wait. And I understand that time is money. And for those of you who don't really understand that from a business perspective, one of the biggest costs you can have as a business owner is payroll. That's when people punch that time clock. That's a huge expense. And in order to get your profits up higher, you try to find ways to cut time and to reduce the time that people are on the clock, because time, in reality, in that situation, is money. But when we look at all of those things, patience is a virtue. Good things come to those who wait. The early bird catches the worm. Some of those things sound contradictory. How can I be early to catch the worm if I gotta wait? What are you saying? You see, we have to get to a place to where we understand that when the time is right, then you need to be the early bird. You see, when the time is right, you need to be the early bird to catch that worm that God has promised you. But when we move ahead of time and when we move when things are not right, we can cause some problems. Y'all don't believe me. But over in the book of Genesis, the story of Abraham and Sarah starts out in Genesis 12, and it talks about Abraham, and God had promised Abraham a son. He promised him that he would be the father of many nations. He promised him that. But it didn't happen right away. Time progressed, and he was like, Lord, you promised me something. Abraham was 75 years old when God promised him a son. And time went by and it didn't happen. So he and his wife decided to help God out. And decided to help God out. His wife, Sarah, said, why not try this, Abraham? Why don't I give you my handmaid and you go into her and conceive a child, and that child which you all conceive would be mine. And that goes into Jewish customs and things of that nature. I won't get into that. But here we have a wife giving her husband to another woman to conceive. And so they did, but long story short, after the child came in, Sarah got a little hot, got a little angry, but it was her idea. So she told Abraham they got to go, and she put him out. And here you have a man having to put his own son out of his house. But what happened? They tried to help God out, but God still made him a great man. And you say, how is this story apropos to today? Well, I told you, haste makes waste. And see, that son that was produced from Hagar, which was the handmaid of Sarah, that they tried to help God out, became the father of the Arab nation. And if you look at the Middle East right now, and for a long time, there has been conflict because both of them, those, the children of Ishmael, which was that son, which was the father of the Arab nations, and those who proclaim the Jewish ones out of the loins of Abraham, they are in constant conflict when both of them came out of the seed of Abraham. But because they tried to help God out and did not wait for the appointed time, which came when he was 100 years old, they caused a mess. And then even if we look at what we call the prodigal son, over in Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, the prodigal son went to his father and said, give me what is mine right now. I'm paraphrasing. He was not ready for it, but his father gave it to him anyway. And it wasn't the right time because he was asking for his inheritance, and his inheritance wasn't due to him until his father had passed away. So he was basically saying to his father, give me what's not. I wish you were dead so that I could have what's mine. So will you give me what's mine? And so the father gave it to him, and he went off and to ride his living because he wasn't ready. It wasn't the appointed time for him to receive his inheritance. And so he squandered all that he had. He lost all that he had. But this story was also a concept of the forgiveness of the father. He ultimately, when he realized he had messed up, he came back home. Here again, in two situations, we have haste making waste because they didn't wait for the appointed time. Why should I wait for the appointed time? Because when you wait for the appointed time, everything will be in place. Everything will be there. A lot of us want to be on the leading edge, and some of us want to be on the bleeding edge. It's okay if God told you, but if God has not spoken to you to move forward, to go ahead with that concept, that idea, that promise, don't you move. Wait until the appointed time. When we look at Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 5, this is dealing with, at a topical level, the whole concept of justification by faith. And justification by faith, because the Galatians here at this particular time were preaching that a person is saved by the law. A person is saved by the law. But here the writer wants to let them know that is not the case. We are saved by grace. And justification comes by way of faith. But the author uses the illustration of a child being under tutelage, as we were under bondage of the law, and going through a process, then at the right time receiving his inheritance at the appointed time, and uses an analogy of a child growing up, becoming heir to the throne when the fullness of time, that is when Christ came onto the scene, the fullness of time, when everything was in place. That fullness of time is a period of preparation. So here in chapter 4, verse 1, he says, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all." Everything, you know, you got a child and they're going to inherit everything you got. They are heirs, but it's not theirs just yet. They got to wait. They got to wait. And here in this time, Paul says that he differs nothing from a servant. And what's happening here? He's under the tutelage and the governors until the appointed time. In most cultures, like the Jewish cultures, there's a transitional period when a boy becomes a man, and that's an appointed time. That's when they have their bar mitzvah. The Romans and even the Greeks had a ceremony for that transitional period. But until that time when that child became a man, he was nothing more than a slave. He had to learn under the tutelage. He had to learn under the governors. He had to be placed under authority. He had to learn. He had to go through some things, even though it was rightfully his. He couldn't get it. Verse 3 says, "Even so, when we were children, we were in the bondage under the elements of the law." Here it's talking about the law itself. Before we were justified by faith, before we became Christians, we lived under the law, and we were in bondage of the law, because in order for us to be right, we had to keep the law perfectly. But there was no way that we could keep the law perfectly. The law was there for us to see ourselves and to see how far we fell short of being perfect in the eyes of God. So we were in bondage there and enslaved unto the things of the world. Just like this child is in bondage, under tutelage, learning everything they need to know before they can accept what is rightfully theirs at an appointed time by the Father. Then in verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law." Here, the author is saying, when the time was right, because we can go back to Genesis, when man sinned and fell in the garden, how many years had transpired before Jesus came on the scene to fulfill the promise to reconcile us back to God? How many years was it? It was a long time, but when the fullness of time had come, God said, "It's now time for me to send my son." And it says he was made of a woman. That means he was born like a man. The incarnate Christ became human flesh to redeem man back. He was born by way of a woman. to show his humanity. But he says he was made under the law. He came in a time period where he was under the law and had to follow the law. And he was the only one who was able to keep the law perfectly. Why? Because when he was placed on the cross, verse 5, to redeem them that which were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Here, Jesus came. He died on the cross to redeem. That word redeem means to purchase, to buy back, to buy us back because we were under the law, that we now might receive the adoption of sons, meaning that now we are adopted into the royal family of God. Now we become heirs by believing in him, that the work that he did on the cross was able to save us from our sins and redeem us back to him. So the author is saying, we're no longer under the law, so don't follow the Galatians. When the time was right, Jesus came in order to fulfill the law. And if we believe in him, the beauty of waiting on the right time is now we have direct access to God the Father. So the illustration is talking about justification by way of faith. But how is this applicable to waiting on the appointed time? Oh, because we like to rush into things. We don't like to wait on God. You see, if we focus in on that verse that says, when the fullness of time was come, I'm telling you today that no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what period you're in, when it seems like things are not going your way, when it seems like things are not going to take place, I want you to be like the psalmist over in Psalm 40. He said, I waited patiently for the Lord. And that word, when it says I waited patiently, means I waited and I waited. I waited while I was waiting. He was there waiting. He said, why? Because I know God heard my cry, because he hears me. You're waiting on God. You want to move. Everybody else seems to be progressing. The wicked seem to be prospering. You seem to be struggling. But God is saying, wait on the fullness of time. You seem to be praying all night long and crying and nothing's changing. God is saying, wait for the appointed time. Let me give you an understanding of why God said in the fullness of time, God sent his son. You see, everything had to be in place before Jesus Christ came. Everything had to be right for the coming of the Messiah. You see, everything had to be right culturally. Everything had to be right religiously. And everything had to be right politically before God would send his son on the scene. What does that mean? Well, see, the law had been presented. But the law had to be there for a certain period of time for people to realize that they couldn't even keep the law. That's why it was shown through the Jewish nation that men are terrible transgressors. The law was there, but they needed time to see that they couldn't keep the law. They made up laws on top of the law. So things had to be right from that perspective. The world had to be right culturally. What am I saying there? That there were people from all over the world, from all countries. You see, Alexander the Great had thoroughly established Greek culture during that period of time, and the language was known that is Greek throughout the world. So now what we have the religious part of it being set. We have culture being set. People were there. They were speaking pretty much the same language so it could be understood. Guess what else was happening at that particular time when the fullness of time had come? The world had a system of roads that people could travel on with ease. The highways had to be there. The Romans had established a lot of things, and there was peace during that time. So look at all of those things having to come together. The law being fulfilled, people understanding that they couldn't keep the law. The right language, roads and everything. Well, you say, why is that important? Because now you can travel in peace, travel in roads that were created. Everything had been set for the gospel to be preached very easily. God put everything in place, the fullness of time. All of the processes were done. All of the things were put in place. So now things could take place. What am I saying to us today? We want to hasten and move. But if we move without God, there's going to be some problems. If we don't wait until the fullness of time, we're going to have some issues. I told you, you got to wait. Why should I wait? Because when I wait on God, I realize that I am helpless and I can do nothing without him. When I wait on God, I am forced to submit my will unto his will. When I wait on God, I find myself pressing totally and completely and depending on him. Because if I can do it myself, why do I need God? If I can make things happen myself, why do I need God? Waiting is hard. Waiting is challenging. But waiting builds character. Waiting gives you the opportunity to spend more time with God. Waiting allows you to work out some kinks in things. Waiting allows you to work out some things within yourself. There's nothing bad about waiting, because waiting can keep you out of situations. Waiting can keep you from wasting money. Waiting teaches you absolute dependence on God. And you say, well, what should I do while I wait? You need to rest. Rest in the Lord. He will give you peace. But while you're resting, you need to worship. Give him praise and thank him for all that he has already done and all that he is going to do. What else should you do while you're waiting? You should pray and seek God's counsel for the right time to move. From a practical perspective, what should I do while I am waiting? I should put everything that I know to do in order, being ready and prepared. There is a saying that says there is no such thing as luck. It is preparation waiting on the opportunity. And that opportunity is to move when God says move. You're waiting, but you're putting everything in place. And when you have done all you can do, when you've done all that you know to do, you just need to stand until you hear the voice of God say, now it is time. Now it is the fullness of time. Now it is time for you to move. We need to wait on God, wait for the appointed time, because if we don't wait for the appointed time, oh my goodness, we can find ourselves in a world of trouble. We can find ourselves in a world of mess. We can find ourselves sometimes bankrupt because we want to move when we say move. Oh, how many of us as a child asked our parents, and our parents say, not right now, just wait a minute. Just wait a little while longer. But we got so upset, we went out and we did it on our own, and we caused a bigger mess. We couldn't wait. And then it took more to get us out of the mess than if we would have just waited. It delayed our blessing. Oh, I'm going to make it plain to you today, young people. He or she may look good. Oh, my Lord. He or she may look good, maybe a piece of eye candy. Good old Hershey's chocolate with almonds. But I want to tell you, you need to wait until the appointed time till God tells you to move. My Bible tells me that he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor from the Lord. But sometimes we want to chase after what we see. I'm not talking about anybody but myself. But when you chase after what you see and not moving by faith, when God tells you to move, you can find yourself in a mess. Wait on God. Wait until he tells you to move. You get a little antsy. You get a little itch. But my main point today is to say, when all things are in the right place, then make your move. But how do I know when things are in the right place? Because while you're going through and waiting, because you're worshiping, because you're resting, because you're praying and seeking God's counsel, how will you know when it's the right time? God will whisper into you and he'll say, move. How will I know when it's time to move? Because you'll have peace in your soul. You'll have peace in your heart. You'll have peace about it. When God tells you to make a move, it'll be peace in your soul. There will be peace in your family. There will be peace all around you because he is telling you to move. My Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Today, I'm telling you, you got to wait until the appointed time, because when you wait on the appointed time, everything will be all right. Y'all don't understand. See, I'm reminded of this woman who had an issue of blood. She did everything she could do for 12 long years. She spent all her money going to doctors. They couldn't heal her. She spent all her money doing everything, looking out for healing. But there was one day, the appointed time, when Jesus was passing by, and she saw him, and she said, if I could just but touch the hem of his garment. You see, it wasn't the appointed time for her to spend her money to get healed. It wasn't the time for her to do that. This was for a testimony. You see, over in Psalm 40, verse 3, and it says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. It's not all about you for the waiting. When you wait, God is putting other people in place. Other people are watching you. Other people are looking at you. And when they see how you have waited, you have a new song in your heart. And what does verse 3 say? They shall see it and fear, and they shall trust in the Lord. Other people will trust in your words. Other people will trust in your life. Other people will come to trust in God because you waited. You can help other people out by you being obedient and by you waiting. What am I saying? Because you hearkened unto the voice of the Lord thy God, because you waited on the appointed time, other people were blessed and will be blessed and fear God because of you. Because of you. It's not all about you, but if you wait on God, oh, he'll get a new song in your mouth, praise, and many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. See, it's bigger than you. Whatever God has promised you, it's bigger than you. Whatever he has on the table for you, it's bigger than you. He wants you to wait and say, let me do it. Let me do it. Oh, I'm going to put another story out there. You remember when the children of Israel were trapped between two mountains and the Egyptians were behind them and they were in front of the Red Sea. They had to totally depend and wait on God. And God said, Moses, what's that in your hand? He had a rod. He lifted up his rod. He parted the Red Sea, but God said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. When we wait on God, all we have to do is stand still and watch him move. Sometimes we want to fight, but God is saying a lot of times the battle is not yours. I'm fighting this. I want to bless you. I want to give you that business deal. I want to make you well known. I want to bless you. I want to give you the promises, but all you got to do is just wait. All you have to do is just wait. Because if you move too soon, you can end up like Abraham and Sarah, causing turmoil today in the Middle East. But if you wait on him, oh my God, my God, the fullness of time, you'll see God work a miracle. Because sometimes God likes to put you in a situation where you can't do nothing but wait. I'm going to tell you, you see, Abraham was 75 when the promise was given to him. But when he turned 100 years old, God says, now is the time for me to act. Sarah was about 90 years old. And now God said, now you tried to help me out with Ishmael. But now I'm going to show you who is God. I'm going to show you what I'm able to do. And I'll do what I said I was going to do. All you got to do is wait. Sarah was saying, how am I going to even have a child in my old age? Abraham was well past his childbearing years. And to make it plain to y'all to see the miracle of God when you wait, there was no Cialis, there was no Viagra in them days. Abraham was as good as dead. But God said, now that he is good as dead, I'm going to show you who's alive if you just wait on it. And he went into Sarah at 100 years old, and they conceived a son, Abraham, Isaac, who was the promised one. Isaac was born. Now, look at God. He said, if you wait on me, no matter what's going on, no matter how many things have transgressed, no matter how many things have come to pass, if you just wait on me, I can do something out of nothing. Just wait until the appointed time. That's what God is saying, young people. Just wait on it. Don't rush it. Wait till the appointed time. I'm so tired of living here at mom and daddy's house. I'm ready to get up out of here. Wait till the appointed time. Because if you move out too early, you find out what a light bill is like. You find out what a car payment is like. You'll find out what it's like to really be hungry. But if you wait until the appointed time, when God says it's time to move, everything will be all right. I'm not telling you that waiting is going to be easy. I'm not telling you you're not going to have some trying times and crying times while you're waiting. But what I will tell you is that at the end of waiting, you will have joy, unspeakable joy. You will have a testimony that nobody can tell but you. You will have all the blessings that God has promised you. And the beauty of it is, people who are watching, they will fear and come to trust and know God. Why? Because you waited. Do you know how many people are looking at you? Do you know how many people are watching you? Do you know how many people are just waiting on you to do what God called you to do? My brothers and sisters, today, as Jesus came in the fullness of time, when the roads were there, when the language was in order, when the law had fulfilled its purpose, then Jesus came. Then God sent his son. And what happened because of the right time? We are now able to be called the sons and daughters of God. If you wait for the fullness of time, you will be a blessing to others. You will receive your blessing and be a blessing to others. So today, I say, the fullness of time is a period of preparation. Wait on God. Because the psalmist says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. God hears you. He's putting things in order. He's maneuvering things that you cannot see. He's putting the right people in place. He's putting people in position so that when he says go, it's already there and it will be effortless. He says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wait on God. Worship him. Praise him. Seek his face and rest. And a practical application today. While you're waiting, no matter whatever it is, do all that you know to do. Then wait on God to say go. May God bless you all today.
For more information about True Holiness, or if you'd like to give a tax-deductible donation to help us continue to spread the gospel, visit us on the web at www.trueholinesscogic.org.
Brooklyn, Queens, the Bronx, Staten, and money-making Manhattan. You're listening to Bashani Radio App, the number one independent app for podcast. Download for free for iPhone and Android at the App Store.